Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. My name's Sam Crowley. It is great to have you with us. We have an awesome, awesome show today. Don't do interviews very often, but when I do, I want to make sure it's just freaking fantastic that we got a guest that you can resonate with, that will inspire you, motivate you. I'm going to bring Zach Crawford out in just a second. Those of you that were listening last week when I had the podcast, I was talking about my meeting with Zach. Zach contacted me. He was coming back home from the Philippines after being away for a couple of years and shared his story via Facebook with me, how he plugged into the Everyday Saturday message. And he was down, man, down and out a couple of years ago, and thoughts of suicide, of giving up. He was involved in a very bad car accident with a drunk driver. We're going to get into that entire story now, though. It's got a great ending, making $50,000 a month, living the Everyday Saturday lifestyle. So I'm going to bring Zach out in just a second. Before I do that, make sure you are subscribed to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Go on over to iTunes, subscribe. You'll hear great interviews like the one I'm about to do, as well as with other thought leaders around the world. And we do a brand new show every single day. Subscribe, leave a 5-star rating while you're at it as well. You can also listen to the Every Day is Saturday podcast going over to, wait for it, everydayissaturday.com. All right, we cool? Cool. Awesome. Zach, you with me, brother? Zach Crawford, it is great to have you. Welcome to the Everyday Saturday podcast.
Thanks, man. I'm glad to be here.
So, Zach, you're in Indianapolis right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Indianapolis. Just got back from the Philippines.
What were you doing in the Philippines? How long were you over there?
2 years straight. I went over there to basically bootstrap my business. I learned early on that you could live really, really cheap, and I lived extraordinarily cheap. And then it was basically just to quit my job and take a gamble that I could make all this work.
Yeah, we got to get into that. Anytime somebody says the word quit their job, it's like Pavlov's dog to me, man. It's like my ears perk up, and I just get this like incredibly awesome feeling that somebody actually quit their job. So, hey, we had lunch last week. You came to Cincinnati. And you know, tell the audience, we're going to get into your entire story, but just give a Reader's Digest version what compelled you to want to come to Cincinnati, Ohio last week?
All right. So basically when I first started out this whole journey was about roughly 4 years ago. And that was about the time that I started really studying personal development. I was kind of at this point in my life that, you know, if I didn't find something like that, I was probably going to end up killing myself. I was well over close to $50,000 in debt. I had a drunk driver who hit me back in 2006, and you know, I had perfect credit. I had a really good job at the post office, making close to $60,000 a year, and then everything pretty much come crashing down. You know, I was left with all that debt. Went through the physical therapy for over 6 months, and I was basically working this job, you know, anywhere from 50 to 80 hours a week, and sometimes even at Christmas around 100. And
wow.
The creditors were trying to collect the money. They were calling my parents' house, harassing my parents. They were calling my cell phone. And it was just at a point that, you know, I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, I was working essentially to pay for somebody else's mistake that they made by, you know, drinking, getting behind the wheel. And it comes to a point where, you know, if I get a bit emotional here, bear with me. When I started, like, going down that path, you know, it started every day. I mean, I would drive home and I was just so miserable, I'd be thinking about flipping the car and just ending it. And, you know, I needed to find a way to find some kind of happiness. Otherwise, it was going to end bad. So, you know, that was about the time when, you know, my dad approached me and said, I want you to listen to this. And I looked at it and said, every day is Saturday. And I'm like, what the heck is this?
Sounds stupid, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was like, what is every day is Saturday?
It's not possible. Come on.
And then he tried to get me to listen to all kinds of personal development, everything from Tony Robbins and you know, all kinds of people. He would just hand them to me, and I'd listen to about 5 seconds of it, and I was done. I was the most negative, pessimistic person you could meet. I could find something wrong with something that was completely positive. And, you know, something about your, I don't know, your energy, I don't know what it was, but instantly I clicked with it. So I started listening to these audios day in, day out, day in. I mean, I would be at work and just have my podcast, or have your podcast, or Every Day Saturday, everything, and just put it on my iPhone and listen to it all day long while I was working. And the one thing that really resonated with me is when I found out that, you know, you had the debt, you went through the bankruptcy, then you went after your dream, and then, you know, you had the sub shop that failed, had to go back to the right. to the desk job again. I'm just like, man, if this person can go through
what
this,
a loser.
Over.
Right.
I wasn't thinking loser. I was just thinking, man, if he can face this much adversity, so can I.
Yeah.
And, you know, that gave me the hope that, you know, there's got to be a way out other than, you know, taking my life. And I know, you know, my parents, it was almost a thing that they were so worried daily. You know, they would call me throughout work and everything, just kind of checking on me. And it was a point in my life that, you know, I needed something. I needed somebody to give me hope. And, you know, as I started listening to this, it really, really resonated with me. And I just dove into it day in and day out, and it gave me hope that there is the light at the end of the tunnel. I had a chance that I could turn things around.
So take us through your last day at work, because there's a lot of individuals listening to the Everyday Saturday podcast that they would love to quit their job, but, and look, you're not 45 years old with a family of six, so we get that part.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
everybody has different lifestyles, but here's there comes a point, and I talked about this yesterday on the show, where it was my 9-year anniversary of quitting my job, and there comes a point in time, we all have a tipping point. We all have a point where we can't be pushed past a certain line, regardless of what your current situation is, whether you're making 200 grand a year or you're making 20 grand a year. Tell us about your last day of work.
It's kind of funny how it happened. I've been trying to quit my job for probably a solid, I don't know, six months at least, heavily.
What was your job? What were you doing?
I was a supervisor at a post office contractor.
Okay.
So, you know, I've been basically trying to quit for over 6 months, and my dad just kept telling me it's not smart, you know. He was trying to prevent me at least to save up some more money so I had some burn. And, you know, at that point, I just didn't care. I didn't care about the money. I just wanted to quit and be done with it and try to file bankruptcy or something to start fresh. And there was this point where, you know, I was still in this phase, even though I was listening to you, I was still fighting the whole thoughts of taking my life. And it came to a point where I was just so, so, so miserable that my boss walked in one day and he said, "Hey man, if we don't get our numbers up between the two of us, we need to look for another job." I said, "Oh, is that so?" So then I immediately, after he walked out of the room, I called my dad and I said, "You have two choices. I'm going to kill myself today, or I'm going to go to the Philippines, make the choice now." And he said, "All right, book your ticket." And, you know, that was my final decision that, you know, I couldn't take any more of this. I was miserable. I was working to pay somebody else's mistake. I didn't feel like I had any options anymore, and I felt like I was just going to have to gamble it all on black. And, you know, at that point, once he said do it, I basically said, "All right," I told my boss, "I'm done." He laughed and thought I was joking. And then when he seen that I didn't flinch, then he was like, "Oh, crap." And you know, they depended on me because I've been there for 8 years. And I just burned my bridges completely. There was I put the gasoline on the boat and burned it. And, you know, at that point, there was no going back if I wanted to at that point. I mean, I burned the bridges completely.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me just dive into that for a second. You know, when you placed that phone call to your dad, what if you could not have gotten a hold of him? I mean, why did you have these thoughts of suicide thoughts? I mean, that's an extreme. I mean, you're a young kid. Yeah, you're in debt. Yeah, you don't like your job, but you're young, man. You got your whole life ahead of you. Why would you even entertain such a drastic thought like that?
I, you know, honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I would even say it was kind of a weak mindset. But at that point in my life, you know, I was, it happened when I was 19. I went on for almost like 4 years or so, 5 years, trying to pay this off, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and compounded. And, you know, all my friends went to college. They, you know, they got to, I didn't get to do that. I was robbed of that. And, you know, I didn't want to be, I mean, even though the job was good, that wasn't what I pictured myself doing 20 years down the line.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, how am I ever going to do anything? I'm going to be stuck in this job. I'm going to be paying this off for years because, you know, sure, I make good enough money, but it's like it's gone at the end of the week once I make it. And I just didn't feel like I had any options, Sam. It was one of those deals where, what do I do with my life? And I wasn't happy. It didn't matter if people were around me trying to cheer me up. I see no option. I look at it this day and age, and I just think that, you know, it was a very weak mindset. And with what I know now, you know, you can always turn your life around. But at that present moment, I didn't think there was another option.
What did happen when you were 19 years old?
All right, so do you want me to take you back, like, the actual story all the way through it?
Well, just, I mean, you don't have to get into all of the details. I think it's important, though, that you tell people, because I don't even, I mean, to be quite honest with you, I'm not familiar with what happened that night. I understand it was a drunk driver, you were in an accident, but you don't, if it's something that's going to be really gory, maybe you leave those details out, but.
Yeah, I'll leave out all the bad stuff.
Yeah, man, just let us know, like, what was going on where, you know, when you woke up that morning before the accident, were you having a good day? What was your mindset? What was life like right before that for Zach Crawford? Was it a good life? Were you happy? And then, because we know what happened for the next 4 years, that you were being chased by debt collectors and you were in the hospital. And so take us through right before your accident. What was your mindset? What was life like in the life of Zach Crawford? And then what happened? How did it change after that?
All right. So at that point, I was 19. It was, that day was June 11th, 2006. And it was a Sunday, and my mom actually went to Kentucky where she used to, you know, grew up, and she was out of town, and it was just me and my dad, and we were hanging out for the weekend. But I rode motorcycles; that was my thing, and I had all my fancy toys, and I was a reckless 19-year-old kid. And to be honest, I probably would have ended up getting hurt anyways if it wasn't for the motorcycle accident. I was actually kind of more the young punk riding wheelies on the streets and living my life very recklessly at that time, and. That day was really great. You know, me and my dad had lunch. We went out. We had fun. I was really happy then. I had plenty of money coming in at 19. I had really no care in the world. And I was supposed to go riding with my friend that day, but then it rained. So I didn't plan on, you know, going out riding my motorcycle. And then probably, I don't know, 10:30, my friend calls me out of the blue and says, "Hey, man, let's go out and go riding." And, you know, at that point, I was like, "What are you talking about? It's wet outside." And he's like, "Oh, it's dried up. Let's go." So, you know, I grabbed my bag, packed my bag, put it on my backpack, and I grabbed my helmet. And as I went out the door, I set my helmet on the porch. And, you know, half the time I rode with my helmet, the other half I didn't. So it wasn't like it was anything that made me even, you know, it was a weird feeling not having my helmet on.
Right.
So I left my house, and as they say, most motorcycle or most accidents in general happen within like 3-5 minutes of the home.
Right.
I'm riding down the street. It's probably nobody out because we're talking 11 o'clock, almost 11 o'clock at night. And then I get taken off from the light, and out of nowhere, I just feel like this pain scraping my face, and I'm rolling, and I don't even know what's going on. I'm disoriented. And by the time I got done rolling around on the ground, which is over 2 football fields long, you know, it ripped my gloves, my motorcycle gloves, off my hands. You know, I had rashes all over my face. Both my legs were broken. I just felt this extreme, excruciating pain. And, you know, when I looked up, there was another car coming at me. And I was looking that car dead in the face with the lights coming at me. And I just had to, my legs were broke, so I had to basically use my elbows and my arms to dig into the ground to get off the side of the road. And then by the time that all happened, all I could hear is my motorcycle. It was pinned to the, you know, the throttle, and I didn't know what was going on. I was disoriented. And then somebody ran up to me, and, you know, I was trying to fight him off because I was freaking out. And the person, luckily, was from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, no
kidding. He was an ER doctor. And he's like, "Just calm down. I'm an ER doctor. I've seen what happened. You know, you're about to go in shock. Just calm down." And, like, I was trying to fight him off until, you know, finally he calmed me down enough to figure out, like, you know, how to call my dad and how to get a hold of everybody. And, you know, from there they rushed me to the hospital. And then from there it was just an emotional roller coaster going through that whole process. My mom found out about it. She'd been up all day, and she sped all the way from, you know, Kentucky all night long to get back to the hospital. And, you know, I was basically in the hospital in the ER for roughly 2 weeks. And then from there, it was like almost 3, 4, 5 months of physical therapy once I got out of the hospital.
Wow, man. What was the cause of the accident? Like, what happened now that, you know, once you,
so,
what did they tell you? What happened?
This girl was 16 years old, and she had a boyfriend who was roughly 18 or 19 years old. And apparently, we still don't really know the whole facts behind the story, but from everything going, this guy was supposed to go off, and actually, he just signed up for the Army, so he was supposed to leave in like 2 months. and they both were drunk over double the legal limit. They had beer cans in the back and everything. Mm. And they were going 80 miles an hour driving while I was going 40. So it was like hitting a brick wall at 40. They hit me from behind. That's why I didn't know what was even going on. Wow. And after it all happened, you know, we had to hire a private investigator to figure out, you know, basically, is there money to be had? And which, you know, in the end, we found out there wasn't money to be had because the girl's dad was in prison for killing somebody. The mom was in rehab for drugs, and obviously the daughter followed in the footsteps. And that's how I ended up in debt because there was no money to be had, and the bills were bigger than what even my insurance covered. And once we got the investigator report back, basically they discovered that, you know, the seat and the driver's seat was pushed all the way to the back. So obviously this girl's 5'1", and her sandals are in the passenger side. You know, that doesn't add up, and the kid's like 6'2". So obviously, mm-hmm. it was the kid that was driving, but she took the hit because he was supposed to go to the military as a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and said that it was her, but really it was actually him. He ended up getting away with it. She got just a slap on the wrist because she was 16. There was no money to be had. She didn't even have to do community service. They just yanked her license. So after all that, after hitting somebody and pretty much ruining their life, you know, all she got was a slap on the wrist.
I know you're in a really good place today, but prior to that, did you harbor a lot of resentment towards that girl and that kid? And was it difficult to get over that?
I wanted to kill her.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad. I mean, I remember one time just sitting here and crying in my bed and blaming, and, you know, basically angry with God. Like, why did this happen to me? You know, why, what did I do to deserve to have all this debt and, you know, to go through all this depression and have to fight through the physical therapy? And the physical therapy is the worst. I'd just be crying going through it. My mom would have to make me do it. And, you know, I used to just wonder, why did it happen to me?
Yeah, which are natural thoughts, by the way. I mean, that's something like that happens. I mean, geez, we wake up and, you know, it's raining outside and, you know, we want to go play a round of golf. And we're like, why does that happen to me? You know, why can't it was sunny 6 days out of the week. And I think you got to put everything in perspective. So I'm sure when you hear individuals complaining now about, you know, woe is me or things that are going wrong, not that there aren't real problems in the world, but there's real problems and real adversity like what you just described. And then there's speed bumps in the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. I explain that to people often when they'll say, you know, I'm in debt, and I'll be like, well, let me tell you here. Or they'll say, you know, they'll say something like, you know, oh, well, it's just not fair. You know, I lost my job, and I'll say, okay, well, how about this? And then, you know, they just look at me like with a blank stare. And, you know, once you go through such extreme circumstances, you know, you realize that life is really truly a gift. It's not just a given. You know, your life can be taken away from you tomorrow. You don't know when you're driving down the road and you get T-boned by a semi and, you know, your family is left without you. And most people just take life for granted in general, and so did I.
Did you ever think about, when you were thinking about taking your own life, the hurt and the pain? I mean, your mom and dad obviously love you a lot. We see it on Facebook, that the pain you would have left behind and the ripple in the water with that.
Yeah, I did, and that's probably part of the reason why I did it. I mean, to be quite honest, you know, if it wasn't for them, this is why I completely, you know, this whole business that I built up is for them. And when I was going through all that stuff, I didn't get to tell that part of the story, but during the physical therapy part of the story, you know, I literally had no dignity. I couldn't even go to the bathroom for myself. My parents had to carry me to the bathroom. So, I mean, I felt like not even a full person. I was just, it was completely, you know, and at one point, all my friends left me. They just, you know, when Zach couldn't ride the motorcycle with anymore, they wanted nothing to do with me. And I just felt low. I've been working out since I was 16 to get a great body. I lost over like 40 or 50 pounds just laying in the bed rotting away. And at that point, I got addicted to pills, and I was trying to OD several times. My mom literally just, she slept in the between the doorway of my door for several months, so that way I couldn't sneak out and get any pills in the middle of the night. Not to mention, they paid all my bills and everything. I mean, I had plenty of bills at that point. I had them racked up. And they made sacrifices to keep me going and tried to rebuild me back up.
And now your whole why, I mean, why you do what you do, and we're going to get into what you actually do online, because I know a lot of people want to know, wow. I mean, people listening right now are like in shock of the story that you're sharing, that you made. Not only did you just make it out, some people just are happy to make it out of that situation. Now you're thriving, you got a business that's thriving. And your main why, the reason you do what you do, is to give back to the people that were there for you, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, money doesn't mean anything to me. Like, if anybody knew me, I'm like a low-key guy. You see me. I wear T-shirts, shorts, I'm covered in tattoos, and you know, fancy things don't impress me. It's not why I do it.
So why talk about how much money you make then? I mean, I see you post on Facebook and things like that.
Because that's what motivates other people to change their life. A lot of people are motivated by, you know, having a nice car, having, being able to go to, you know, to a restaurant and, you know, get a $100 meal, or just basically being able to live life on their terms. To me, it's not about money. I use the things to motivate other people to change their life. And, you know, I've had several people reach out to me and say, Zach, you know, basically it's the same situation as what you did for me, saying, you give me hope to not kill myself. And I mean, the power behind that is just, you can't even imagine. It's like, I use the things to motivate other people. Things don't impress me, but I know that for most people, that's truly what they desire. And when I first started this journey, to be honest, I thought like, oh man, it would just be awesome when I could afford to buy a Corvette. It would be awesome when I could have this house paid in cash. I just thought that was what was going to make me happy. Now that I have money, I'm the cheapest person you'll ever meet. Like, you count every cent, every dollar. When I first come back from the Philippines, we went to the movies, and it was like $60 for the three of us. And I'm like, man, I'm not in the Philippines anymore. Like, I'm a very, very cheap person. And, you know, as you know, most millionaires usually are. They don't even drive new cars.
Yeah. You know, that's so funny. My wife and I, you know, we'll go to Kroger, and if there's a choice between, if we're getting like a bottle of club soda, if there's a choice between the generic brand and like Schweppes or Canada Dry, we'll get the generic brand because it's 89 cents versus $1.49. But look, man, I was raised probably similar to you, maybe a little bit. I mean, you at least have both your parents. You know, I grew up in a single family home, youngest of eight kids. We didn't have money. So when you, and I just, sometimes it gnaws at me. I don't know about you, but when I see people posting about, you know, having this, I believe in an attitude of abundance, but you gain abundance so you can create it for other people, so you can give back.
Correct.
I'm not about, and I don't begrudge anybody that's got a fancy house, a big mansion, a boat, and things like that, but that's not even close to what motivates me. And, you know, I think you're right. Like Jim Carrey said, you know, I wish everybody would become rich and famous so they can understand that that's not what life's about. You know, it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't make you happy. I'll tell you what, man, I've earned $100 from stage speaking, and I've earned $100,000 in the same amount of time from stage speaking. And both times I was equally as satisfied. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I remember, honestly, I think I was more excited about my first $30 I made online. Because it was just like, that was a symbol of hope. So like, if I could do it, if I could do 30, I could scale it up to, you know, and I knew there was people making 1,000, 3,000, 5,000. I mean, Sam, I've even made 50 a day, and I don't get excited about it anymore. Like my dad would just say, hey Zach, we made another sale. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I'd go back to like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's not exciting anymore. What's exciting now is like, you know, now I'm getting ready to launch my podcast soon. It's like, it's about building something that I want to wake up to every morning. It excites me. And knowing that it's helping other people at the same time.
How about that? Zach Crawford now getting his own podcast. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Hey, so let's get into that last day. I want to take us through then your trip to the Philippines and how things turned around for you. So that last day of work, you tell your boss to shove it, right?
Yeah.
And then you'd buy a ticket to the Philippines. I mean, dude, you didn't go to like, I mean, if you would have moved to LA or West Palm Beach, that would have been far enough. But you go all the way over to the Philippines because you understand it's cheap to live there and all that. How much money did you go there with?
About $13,000.
Oh, okay, cool.
I sold everything I owned.
Everything?
Like, I don't even have a car to my name now. I'm driving my parents' car until I go buy a new one.
Man, you are cheap. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I am. I'm bootstrapping it still.
Bootstrapping it still, man. You could take the kid out of Indy, but you can't take Indy out of the kid. So,
right. So
you get to the Philippines, you land. Do you look around and say, I'm not in Kansas anymore?
When I landed in the Philippines, it was funny because the day I left, like I just had this in my head. I was very, you know, still naive. I left a boy and come back a man. But when I left, you know, my dad's like, you go in there is not going to solve all your problems. And you're going to find that there's going to be challenges. And I'm like, nah, typical arrogant young kid. Mm-hmm. And when I landed there and I went from like 1.6 million people in Indianapolis to like 16 million people in Manila, oh man, I was in shell shock. For the first week, I wanted to come back home. I was already trying to tell my dad I wanted to come back home. I was freaked out.
Yeah. Dude, that's
it was a shell shock.
That's wild. So, yeah, it's a little bit different culturally than the Midwest of the U.S. here. So, take us through. So, what did you, you know, how'd you get yourself up and running on the internet? I mean, what'd you do? What were some of the first steps you took to get yourself situated?
Okay, so, when I first started, it was kind of funny because, you know, I said I was trying to quit my job for like 6 months. I actually, before I quit my job the first time, I built up like an empire of like small little sites, basically, where people go there, they click your ads, and you get paid. It's through Google. And, you know, I was making like $5,000-$6,000 a month. And one moment, I woke up, and my account basically got banned because I did something they didn't like. And then my whole empire was wiped out. I was going to quit my job like 2 weeks later. And then I just woke up one morning, I was like, you got to be kidding me. So when I went over to the Philippines after I quit, I had nothing going on at that point. I mean, I literally just, I'm just going to figure it out. I had money. I said, I'll just go rebuild my sites and my empire back up, because you only need, honestly, if you make $2,000 a month there, you're already upper class. So I was just thinking, I can build this back up. You know, I'll just use the money I have to live off of for now, and we'll get this going. That didn't work out very well. I was broke after about 3 months. I literally was, almost every penny was gone.
13 grand done. 13 grand done.
Yeah, because I was making bad business decisions. Plus, also, you had, you know, the internet there, to have a good internet is $150 a month. Right now, for like, you know, my employees and stuff, their internet bill is about $150 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I burned through money pretty quick. Also, too, you know, as you said about the culture, it's very easy, you know, to be naive and not know how things work, so you can get taken advantage of and everything. And that's not to say I love the Philippines, I love Filipinos, but, you know, you're a target. I mean, as soon as I got off the plane, they scammed me for $20.
Nice. And, Welcome to the Philippines.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny, because that's what, you know, my business partner, I said there. She's like, welcome to the Philippines. And, you know, when after I went and I burned through all the money, I remember, like, I went down to, like, 7-Eleven, because they have them there, too. I was trying to buy ice cream, and I was counting pesos, not the actual bills, but the coins. And the girl across the counter just looked at me like, you're the most pathetic American I've ever seen. And I just, you know, I was upstairs and just, like, crying. Like, how did this happen to me again? You know, I thought this was going to be the thing that turned it all around.
And how long after you got there were you counting pesos? Take us like a time frame.
3 months.
3 months. That's it.
Yep, 3 months.
So within 90 days, you're down to no money, and you have a girl telling you you're the most pathetic person, and you're in tears, thinking, "I can't believe I just."
She didn't tell me that, but she looked at me that way.
Right.
Yeah, it was basically 3 months exactly.
Okay, so what happened, man? How'd you turn it around?
Well, for about 2 weeks, I slept in the bed and did the whole, you know, sulk in your depression and
right,
play the blame game. And then I got so incredibly mad, and, you know, I decided there, I told my business partner at that time, I was like, in 60 days, I'm going to turn this around. I don't know how. I'm just going to figure it out. And, you know, within 60 days, well, it wasn't even 60 days, within 30 days, I already, you know, masterminded with another marketer. I pulled the same tricks and shenanigans I did with you. And I basically went to him and said, look, you know, I'm willing to do everything. I'll do all the work. You know, I have the team. I can leverage it, because I already built up a little bit of an outsourcing center already. We were doing, like, freelance work and web design and stuff. So I basically used what I had and leveraged it. And to him, it was like, hey, this is easy. We can do a launch together. We'll make money. So then within 30 days, we put all this together. We launched it, made, like, 50 grand. And then from there, now I had money to reinvest. And then that pretty much, you know, from there led on to building up the business that I have today. And I did that within 30 days, and that was going from broke. So that's why when people tell me now that, like, you can't do something, I just completely formulated that idea and just ran with it. And it could have failed, but there wasn't an option for it to fail.
Okay, so hold on a second, dude. You just went from zero to 50 grand in 30 days. We got to dissect that for just a second.
No, that was split. It wasn't,
okay,
it wasn't,
even if it was $1,500, okay, that's more than what's more than most people earn in a month online. Let me ask you a question. Did you have, prior to going to the Philippines, did you have a vast amount of online marketing experience?
I had knowledge from buying tons of info products and buying people's courses. And I did little odd and end work. Like, when I started out, you know, I would go and basically sell a website to a business owner. And then I would be the third party, and I'd go pay like a VA in the Philippines to do it, and then keep the profit. So I had that much information on my hands, but I didn't have like a ton of experience. I wasn't making, you know, the buku bucks and all that stuff. I barely even could make $5,000 a month if I was lucky, and it might be one time, and I'm broke for 2 or 3 months.
Right. I think we've all in the online world have done something similar. When I went broke and I had to go out on my own, I was basically the same thing. I was a middleman selling websites and having them fulfilled through Elance and things like that.
Yep.
And just, you know, you don't want to get your hands dirty, but you end up, you know, having to get your hands dirty half the time because the work doesn't get done the right way, and, you know, you're apologizing to the client and things like that. But, you know, You know, long term, that's not what you want to do. But short term, it pays the bills. And I'm telling you, everybody should go through something like that because you really get a feeling for what it's like to be an entrepreneur. Even if you don't do the work, you got to manage the work. You got to manage people. You got to manage processes. And it's better than having a job, man. I'll tell you, it's better than having a job. So what did you do again to get that share of that $25,000 in 30 days? Zach, making 25 grand, like I said, I don't care if it's 10 grand, in your first 30 days of really, you know, putting the pedal to the metal and saying, I'm going to take this serious. Just kind of take us, strip back a layer or two and take us down further into that process of how you exactly earned income.
All right. So basically, you know, on the online world, if you're not familiar with how it works, the people that are listening, you know, you can create information products. I mean, it's digital, it could be video, it could be an ebook, basically online goods. There's no deliverability as far as physical products. And the person that I actually, you know, formed that partnership with, I actually bought his coaching before, but I did nothing with it. And, you know, it was just like a $500 training. I did nothing with it. But I had plans to create info products later. I knew that it was good. I just didn't do anything with it because I was lazy. And once I was there, I leveraged that I bought the product to reach out to him. And that's when I told him, like, hey, I'm over here. You know, I can create software. I can create, you know, anything you want. And, you know, I'll cover it. And, you know, basically, I made it so that all odds were in his favor. I mean, I was going to do all the work, really. Just had to leverage his name, let him do, you know, the sales page copywriting. And, you know, and then we formulate the product and launch it together. So basically the method was off of what I actually did. It was all about how to, you know, basically, you know, just make a couple $1,000 a month. It wasn't promises of making 50 grand. It was just like teaching you basically the exact method, going to, you know, sell services to offline business owners, connecting the dots, how to actually outsource it, and then like quick little bootstrap methods to actually build up your income so that way you can scale to something else. When we launched that, you know, of course, it's 50,000, you know, gross, but by the time we actually split it between us, we paid affiliates and stuff like that, maybe each of us ended up with around 10,000. And right. All I did really is I played the person to do all the work, and I had a little bit of experience prior, but this isn't, honestly, anybody could have did this. And, you know, honestly, if there's one skill that I would tell anybody to master, it's to how to actually get on somebody's radar by doing nice things for them. That's been the key to my success. Is anytime I decide I want to work with somebody or I want to do something with them, I think I go and look at everything they're doing. I look at where their weak points are, where can I fit in, and that's when I figure out how I'm going to plan my approach. Kind of like the same thing I did with you and got on your radar. I look at somebody, I set a goal, and I decide, not hope, I decide that I'm going to work with them, and then I formulate the plan to do it. And I did that with him, I did that with you, I did it with other entrepreneurs. And what happens in that process is it's instant credibility. So once I did that launch with him, I generated probably a list of 1,500 buyers, which, you know, somebody that buys a product from you is 100 times more valuable than somebody just putting their information for free, saying they're interested to learn.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Because you have to filter out those learners to make them buyers. Well, I wrote off that list for 1,500 people for probably 6 months. I didn't even focus on list build or anything. I nurtured them, and I figured out the problem. I'd send them surveys and, you know, say, hey, what do you struggle with? What do you not know? How can I help you? And then when I figured out what my market wanted, I did the same thing basically I do with everybody else. I did the hard work. I learned how to do it. I taught them how to do it. And then they paid me handsomely for it. And it's as simple as that. You connect the dots. You figure out where in the market that you can serve other people. And that's the key to my success. I serve first and then ask for money second.
Man, there's just so much there to digest. You know, I'm actually writing down, you know, you bought the coaching program and then you reached out to the person who you bought the coaching program with. You didn't really use the information at that time, but you leveraged that product purchase and then contacted them and offered a valuable resource, which was basically doing all of the work. Did you ever have a thought, geez, I don't know what the hell I'm even doing here. I mean, if he takes, it's kind of a careful what you wish for. If he takes me up on this offer, how do I even get this stuff done? That thought ever ended?
No, I didn't. There's only two choices, Sam. You figure out how to do it or you make excuses. Everything I do, I don't ever think what if. I just think how do I do it or how do I figure it out? And, you know, if you take the thing of like, I don't have any skills. I don't know how to do something. I can't figure this out. You're going to be in the same spot in a job for the rest of your life. Or you can just, you know, that's like all my coaching students I teach them now. I tell them, like, look, go through the pain now of learning how to do this. If it's something that's uncomfortable, that means you're going in the right direction, because I'm never growing as a person or in business unless I'm really scared and I'm uncomfortable. I remember when I first got into doing videos, like now I do a lot of video marketing, and I probably took a solid month before I could even get my first video. I even went and got like a bottle of vodka and got drunk, and I was like, hey, God, and I couldn't get another word out. And wow. I mentally had to sit for like a month and talk myself into do this and say, look, people are, they may judge me, they may make fun of me, but at the end of the day, you know, they can't hurt me, they can't drag me down the street. So I'll be a little bit uncomfortable now, but I'm going to appreciate this process later when I look back. And now what I do when people come to me and they say, Zach, you know, I can't do this. And I say, hold on a minute. And I go get the link for my first video and send it to them. And they laugh. And I'm like, do you see how I speak now compared to how I speak before? I mean, I was very, very insecure on videos when I started. And now I literally can hit a video that's an hour long and get it perfect within the first try because I've done it so much. It's a repeat process.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, man. It's repetition decreases resistance. And speaking of people's opinions, I can't remember the last person whose opinion actually paid my bills. So I'm not really interested in what people have to say as far as, you know, people critiquing what you have to do. I mean, you just got to go with what you're passionate about, man. And you know, the information you're sharing is pure gold for people. But then we have individuals listening and say, oh, that's good for you, Zach. You're a young kid, no family, and I went back to that earlier, but I have responsibilities, man. I got four kids. I've got health insurance. I got all these stuff I need to pay for. I got $7,000 a month that I got to, you know, kids in braces and things like that I got to pay for. I can't just do what you're doing, dude. I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, so see, to that, here's what I would answer. That, you know, you can make excuses or you can find solutions. And, you know, I have literally coaching students that are anywhere from my age. I have coaching students in Indonesia. Like one of my coaching students that often people, like I use her a lot. You know, she started and come to me and said, Zach, I can't do this. You know, English is not my first language. I don't have much money. And my response to her was, yes, you can't do it because you just said you can't. And she's like, I know, but people are going to judge me. I said, of course they are, because you think they will. Well, after I broke down and made her realize that she was setting herself back and she could do this if she decided to, she just become naive to the thought that she could fail and applied everything I did. Now she makes 5,000 some months. You know, she's made 11,000 in one program. I mean, in Indonesia, that's like, you're pretty much like 10,000 a month here. I mean, that's a lot of money. It's even the dollar amount is lower in Indonesia and even it is in the Philippines. I don't know the conversion, but it's a lot of money. And I've had people even like 45 years old that have a kid, everything, and they're doing $5,000 days, $8,000 days. Now, anybody can do this. I've seen literally people that are 60 years old, you know, absolutely annihilating it online. It all just comes down to making a decision. I mean, nobody knows how to do this when they start. I didn't even know how to create a website. When I sold my first website, I told you this story before, I was jazzed up, and I sold the website just because I got a connection through a friend. And I basically, you know, said that I could do the website. He's like, you can get this done, right? Absolutely, I'll have it done in 30 days. I was excited, called my dad, told him that I made my first $1,000. And then all of a sudden, he goes, do you know how to do that? And I was like, oh, man. And then it hit me. I didn't even know how to do a website. So I spent 28 days straight every night. And I mean, I worked probably at least 12 hours a day, Sam, on average. Yeah. I come home at 9, 10, 11 o'clock, stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, passing out every night on YouTube, watching how to build a website. It was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Even my designers now, they laugh at me. They're like, how did you get $1,000 for that? And,
right.
You know, I was under pressure, so I had to do it. And it doesn't matter how old you are, what country you're from, what your background is, how much debt you're in. If you make the decision that you're going to learn it, no matter how hard it is or how frustrating it is, you know, you'll learn it. I mean, what's the other solution? You stay at your job, you stay miserable, and you let somebody else tell you what your pay raise is. I give myself my own pay raises, and I decide when I take vacation.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, that's awesome. And I think we ought to let the cat out of the bag a little bit, you know, before we end this podcast, which we still got some time left with Zach. No, we're not wrapping it up now. But Zach reached out to me, and I told him this was very clever. But Zach said that we should have a student and the teacher, Zach Crawford, Sam Crowley type of program and product to show people, really to empower individuals. Because when you listen to Zach's story, you can hear the conviction in his voice. And I got to think he's a completely different guy. I'll ask him this question, actually. Zach, hold on to that. I mean, how much different are you today than you were 4 years ago? But, you know, when Zach approached me and said I would really need to help individuals inside the Everyday Saturday community, I thought it was an amazing idea because I can preach and preach and preach all day long that you've got it inside you to be great. I mean, your greatest days are ahead of you, absolutely, positively. But, you know, I understand also psychologically what Zach was talking about. It's the money for a lot of people. And it's really, Zach talks about that's how you keep score. And, you know, I agree with that. It is how you keep score. But also, it takes a lot of that pressure. It relieves that pressure valve for people. So, towards the end of this month, in May of 2014, Zach has convinced me, and I do mean convinced me, to release every single one of my products, including the most recent one, Podcast House, and just blow it out in an absolute fire sale for everybody inside the Everyday Saturday community and all of Zach's training as well. So we've got the student, Zach Crawford, who right now could be the teacher, and you've got Sam Crowley, who Zach connected with many years ago. And now combining, we're going to take every single one of our products and we're going to blow them out in a ridiculously low price fire sale at the end of May for people like Zach just described. Whether if you want to take advantage of it, then you will. If you don't and you want to stay where you are, then you won't. And, you know, Zach, that's really an amazing idea relative to if you think about somebody, Zach Crawford 4 years ago, you know, or even somebody right now with not a lot of skill. How would a program like this, I want to get back to your story, but maybe the next 30 to 60 seconds, take people through what you're envisioning towards the end of May. Who is this designed for and how can it help a struggling entrepreneur or somebody getting started for the first time?
Okay, so this is designed for the person that right now, obviously, you don't love with a capital L-O-V-E, your job. And, you know, you're at a point where you really just want some kind of solution to get to your Saturday. And, you know, what you're getting, from me at least, is I've spent over $40,000 at this point from coaching, you know, learning all this stuff, buying useless products, and I've lost probably about the same amount of money. And it's basically, you know, my step-by-step process of cutting through all the failure and doing a systemized process. And I will tell you up front, you know, if you want to get really good money, you know, you have to put in the work. If you want to make the side income, like to pay the mortgage, to pay the car, then you just put in part-time hours. So I won't promise the moon, but it will teach you how to get to even the income that I'm at over time.
Which is what, Zach? What's been your largest day over the past, you know, 6 months or so?
Well, my biggest month as of yet, which was last month, was $70,000. Month before that was $50,000.
Okay.
Now, obviously, some months like this month, it's going to be lower because I'm taking time off to work on this product, but you know, my thing is, if you made 5, would you be happy? If you made 10, would you be happy? It all just comes down, and it's relative to what your goals are. For me, I'm working on a $100,000 a month business by the end of this year. That might not be somebody else's goal. Maybe they just want an extra $500. Well, that's easy. You could do that, honestly, in 30 to 45 days, if less, if you really apply yourself. I mean, I've seen people make that in a week. It just comes down to, you know, how serious you want to take it, how fast you want to implement it. Some people, you know, when they start out, they're just a bit intimidated, and I have that all the time with my coaching students, and it's really, this is where it comes in with Sam, because Sam's got the mental game, which is, in my opinion, honestly, more important than what I'm teaching you, because this is 95% mental, 5% technical. Once you believe in yourself and you have that belief system that I can do it, the technical stuff becomes easy, and then you're off to the races.
Yeah, but Zach, I hear everybody say, would an extra $500 a month help you? Or I can teach you how to make another $1,000. I mean, what's different between what you're teaching and what you're doing than all the other info products I've gone broke buying in the past?
Because I don't sell hype. I tell people up front, this takes work. You know, usually the people say, well, how about an extra $500? They say it's push button simple. And it's not. It really takes work. And this is why, you know, in this industry, a lot of people don't succeed because they want something that they don't have to work. They think when they leave their job that, you know, you just go and sit and drink pina coladas on the beach. I'll be honest, I've never really sat and drank pina coladas on the beach. I just do this because I love it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's no different, and just like your business, you know, it's no different than a job. It takes work. But the difference is when you leave that boss mentality, you're doing something for yourself, and you actually can. You know, me and my dad now go out to lunch pretty much every day, and I've been recently going to car dealerships in the middle of the day to look for a car. You can't do that kind of thing at a job, and I don't teach get rich quick. I teach how to build a real business model, and it, you know, honestly, I filter out the people I don't want to work with, even especially coaching students, by telling them up front, like, I'm not going to teach you to get rich quick. There's no such thing unless you have a very large investment to throw at it, and then at that point, you're probably just going to be throwing your money under it because you don't know what you're doing. So I literally take people through a step-by-step process, like do this, do this, do this, and then by this time frame, this is around the result you can expect.
Which I 100% agree with the mental versus the technical part. I mean, you know, the how, anybody can learn that. You just got to put in the time.
Right.
And if you put in a little bit of time, you're going to make a little bit of money, which is great. Like I said, that's an extra car payment, a mortgage payment. If you put in a lot of time, you're going to have a lot of financial freedom. The same type of thing that Zach is experiencing now, $50,000, $70,000 monthly. And really, man, it is such an amazing story. You know, when we met at lunch last week, you know, you sent me that Facebook message, said, "Hey, Sam, it's Zach. I'd love to connect with you and buy you lunch. Come on over to Cincinnati when I'm back visiting my parents in Indianapolis." So it's about a couple hours away. Did you envision us meeting at some point in time? I mean, even back when you were broke, listening to the Everyday Saturday message?
No, I didn't envision. I decided 2 years ago I was going to figure out a way to work with you.
Okay. And now here it is, right? That's the power of a dream. That's the power of a vision.
I'll tell you the story a little bit here, just I'm not going to go too far off the sidetrack, but 6 months ago, I was still broke. My business was up and down. There would be some months I'd do 20. I mean, some months I'd do 10, some months I'd do 5. There was months I even did 2. And the reason for that being, the reason I said that it's 95% mental and 5% actually doing the work is because I still didn't believe in myself. I would make good money, but then I would turn around and go, well, was this lucky? Did I just hit a lucky streak? Am I going to be able to do this next month?
Can I
keep this going? And I kept doubting myself over and over and over. And until I finally, like, and honestly, it was between you and then also my dad drilling it into me every day. Like, he would even say, you know, you listen to all this stuff from Sam, but you're not buying into it. And finally, when I really realized after probably 1,000 times of him telling me that, he was right, you know. I knew more than, honestly, most people probably they're making $1 million from studying and buying all this stuff. But I just didn't believe in myself. And once I really started listening to it and buying into the whole mindset and understanding that, you know, you need to surround yourself with people that you want to be like. You need to really believe that it's possible for you. And then I was off to the races. I went in 6 months from pretty much being broke to now doing what I'm doing now. And I don't know about most people, but for me, 6 months time, like if I would have just started from scratch and I would have believed in myself from day one, I could have did the same results because I've watched several people do it. And it was frustrating to me because I would watch people new to the industry and maybe just they come from a better background. They didn't have all the, you know, the depression and all that stuff. And they just believed out of the gate that, hey, if this person can make 50, so can I. And then 4 or 5 months down the line, they were making 50,000. I'm just like, what am I doing wrong? And then finally, when I realized, okay, I don't believe in myself. So that's why I'm getting those results, because you get what you attract and what you think. And then once I believed it, the rest was history.
Yeah, that's wild, dude. Even the name of your business, Psychologically Unemployable. How'd you come up with that name?
I ripped it off of you. Yeah, when I was listening to the audio, it instantly to me, because when people look at me, you know, they think like, they look at me and honestly, they probably think I'm white trash. I think it's funny, but, you know, to me, this is who I am. And to me, my whole brand is, you know, Psychologically Unemployable, live life on your terms. And to me, I wanted to create a business where it doesn't matter, you know, what I look like. It doesn't matter if I'm fat, skinny, covered in tattoos. It doesn't matter if I don't talk professional or I talk a certain way. I can attract my core customer, somebody that resonates with me, because everybody has their core customer. Some people like somebody that talks more professional and elegant. Some people like more raw. Like, honestly, I have more of a raw, punch you in the face kind of style of telling how it is. You know, everybody has their core customer, and a lot of people come into this business thinking they have to be the Sam Crawley or they have to be the Zach Crawford, but that's totally the opposite. You want to be who you are, because then you build a business where you attract the right customers. I created an outsourcing center and just took anybody, and I hated it. I just dumped a $100,000 business before I come back to the States because I couldn't stand it. I was miserable. And, you know, that's why when Sam says that money doesn't buy happiness, it doesn't. When you're working in a business, even if it's a $1 million business and you hate it, it's worse than having a job.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. That's awesome. Hey, let me ask you a question. Take me back to that hospital bed and going through physical therapy. Zach Crawford in May of 2014 would say what to Zach Crawford laying there with two broken legs?
If I had to go back now, I would tell myself that, you know, it's going to be okay. And no matter how low that you sink, if you just keep faith and, you know, in God and whatever it is that you believe in, but understand that no matter how low you sink, you can always come back. And sometimes I believe that people need to hit rock bottom before they can go to the top. because most people are just comfortable. They're not hurting for money. They got a comfortable job, and they don't know what it's like to be at the bottom where you feel like you have no other options. And for me, that was what changed it for me. But if I would go back now, I would just tell myself that, you know, you don't need to go down that path you went down, because it's only going to make you sink farther. You just need to believe that you can turn this around, and, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Because at that point, I just didn't think there was. And mindset is everything. If I would have went back now and knew what I knew now, and I would have started listening to your audios or, you know, any type of personal development back then, during that time that I went through the physical therapy, you know, that would have helped me tremendously. But at that point, I just felt like my life was over.
And what do you say, one last thing, what do you say to Guy and Diane Crawford, your mom and dad?
Thank you for everything and believing in my dreams, because while everybody else said I was crazy for quitting a job at $60,000 and said I was, you know, just silly, they told me to go for it. So I owe everything to them.
That's awesome, dude.
And thank you, Sam, because if it wasn't for you, I definitely wouldn't be here too. You played as big of a part as they did.
That's the power of, you know, creating a message. You know, I create a message, and I appreciate the praise, but I think we'll put your parents way up top and maybe put a Sam Crowley way back in the distance behind everybody else. But yeah, when I was creating that audio series, 6 days of Saturday, the one you're referring to, the one your dad threw on the bed, by the way, your dad putting me ahead of Tony Robbins is just amazing, by the way. So
I agree.
Big shout out to him. I created that audio series. I thought of that audio series, me and my buddy Bill Donovan. We were in Cincinnati, and he was, you know, we wanted to do a big infomercial launch with it and everything, which was hilarious because I was broke. I had no idea how we were going to, but yeah, I had to get the message out. I just wanted people. I didn't know when I was creating that 6 days of Saturday message, it was talking about adversity and commitment and taking action and preparing and all of that on your way to making every day Saturday. And I created it blindly. I too invested about $40,000 in the development of that launch. Borrowed, stole the money. Anything I could do just to get the money to pay people to make the CDs and things like that. Not knowing whose desk those CDs would land on in the next 5 or 6 years, but I knew one thing: I'd get the message from me out into the universe and out to the masses, and whoever needed to hear that message was going to hear it. And lo and behold, a guy named Zach Crawford in Indianapolis hears that message with two broken legs. Prior to the accident, when you were working at the post office, depressed, suicidal, and then has the accident. And that message that was created out of just passion and love for other people with not any thought of ever making any money off it. How about that, man? It brings us together. And now, like I talked about, we're going to tease it a little bit. You know, you and I are going to have a lot of fun in the month of May. We're going to put out a product, an absolute fire sale, your products, all of my products together to help everybody out there that wants to live the Saturday lifestyle. So it's just an amazing story, man. I'm humbled by the fact that you're earning that much income, but also that you've been able now to take care of your parents and give back to them for all the love and support that they've given you. And it's truly, dude, it's really, I'm so happy that we got together.
Yeah, I appreciate even just, you know, just the story. If somebody listening to it, knowing that it gives them hope, that's the beauty of content marketing. You know, knowing that if you just have a dream and you have an idea that it might help one person, if you just help one person, it's completely worth it.
So let me ask you this. Speaking of helping people, would you be interested, today's Thursday, May 8th, 2014. I don't know when everybody's going to listen to this. Most of the people listen probably in and around this time. You'd be interested in doing a live hangout next Thursday and maybe giving a couple of tips and tricks out to the Everyday Saturday community on how to get launched, how to launch their passion?
Yeah, I can do that. I can put together something.
Cool, man. So let's do that. Let's put it in writing Thursday, May 15th. Zach Crawford, Sam Crowley. We'll do a live Google Hangout. Just go to everydayissaturday.com/hangout. And if you can't remember that URL, the easiest thing to do is go to everydayissaturday.com. Make sure that we have your name and email address, because I will be letting everybody in our database know about the hangout next week, all the links, everything that you need to be there. Zach Crawford, amazing story. Congratulations.
Hey, man, I appreciate you for having me.
Hey, you're welcome, dude. And congratulations on all the success you've had so far. Truly awesome.
Thank you.
That's Zach Crawford, and that was just, I hope you enjoyed that. That was awesome to be able to interview Zach and to get a hold of his story and have him be able to tell it as well, the ups and downs and just everything that goes along with making Everyday Saturday. So it's Sam Crowley. Make sure you head over to iTunes, subscribe to the Everyday Saturday podcast, leave a great review so other people can find the show, and have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.